The mother of Jesus was invited to a wedding, and his disciples and Jesus came as well. This gospel invites us to take a journey with them through this wedding. So we're going to go with Jesus and Mary and the disciples and see what we can learn from John's gospel. And when one hears this gospel, at least for me, the thing that really stands out, I always have a question in my mind. Why does Jesus call his mother woman? Does that bother anybody here? Did you notice that? And what don't priests usually skip over that? When I was young, if I said to my mother, "Woman, would you get me something to eat?" I'd never say it again. Makes you laugh just thinking about it. And this was not an appropriate thing to say at Jesus' time either, because Jesus is speaking on another level here. Mary is not just his mother, you see. John is speaking theologically, and Jesus calls her the woman. She is the woman who replaced Eve. She was the one who said yes to God. Eve said no to God. So Mary is the new Eve. Eve was the one who was disobedient. Mary is obedient. So God's plan, which brought Jesus to this wedding, ultimately rested on this person's yes. And she was free to say no. But by saying yes, all of us, all of humanity, said yes to God at that moment. So she represented all of us. So she is the woman. And we find her then, there's another place where Jesus refers to her as the woman, right? Which is at the cross. So these two images are bookends. They frame the entire gospel. One is at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. One is at the very end of his earthly ministry. And here we find Mary under the cross. She's catching, if you will, the drops of his blood as they fall to the ground. Like any mother, she wants to be near her son. This, she sees the consequence of her yes and God's yes. She's going to be there at the end. She is going to be, her yes has led her to the cross, and she stays. She has courage. She's been with Jesus the whole time, but she's in the background. Mary has been invited to a wedding, and so have we. At this wedding, Jesus takes water and turns it into wine. At the cross, Jesus turns wine into his blood, and then Mary is there. And in her person, and in the beloved disciple, and those few others that stayed there, all of humanity was at the foot of the cross, and within him in the Eucharist. So this is a very profound moment, and we are all invited to this wedding. This wedding is very compelling. You know, Jesus did not want to begin his ministry right at this moment. He acceded to Mary's request, but he knew the minute he started doing a public miracle, his days were numbered. So the clock begins to tick the moment he does this. And Mary must have realized that. She realizes now at the foot of the cross that by inviting Jesus to do this miracle, she herself invited him to set in motion his own death. All of this as she pondered in her heart. We are all invited to the wedding. This wedding, you know, this wedding imagery comes up so often, especially in the New Testament, the Old Testament as well. God wanting to marry his people. He often calls them a faithless lover, you know, especially you read the book of Hosea, which is all about a wedding, and the Song of Songs. And Jesus uses wedding imagery. He calls himself the bridegroom very frequently. And the last book of the Bible is the wedding of the Lamb. So all of us then are metaphorically invited to the wedding at Cana, but we're all literally invited to the wedding at the end of time. And so we all are looking forward to the wedding, and while we're on the way, we're getting ready. We're getting our gift ready to give to the bridegroom. We're getting ready by getting our garments cleaned so that we can come right in and won't be left outside. So our Lord uses all this imagery, and so we too are invited to the wedding. And the Mass is a kind of a wedding also. It is a foretaste of the sacrifice of Christ and the banquet of the kingdom of heaven. It is a real sacrifice and a real sacred meal and a real banquet. And so we are preparing for the eternal banquet that never ends. And really, these weddings in the New Testament, they lasted 7 days. And it was a very social faux pas to have come in, to have invited guests in your home for a week and to find they ran out of wine. I wonder sometimes whether or not there's not a coincidence that the wine ran out after Jesus' disciples showed up. You suppose maybe that lies behind Mary coming to Jesus, saying, you know, you brought them here. After all, they were fishermen. No offense to fishermen, but, you know. So, we don't know. I'm just reading between the lines. You can do your own pondering on this one. Another one. This came to me after the last Mass. Somebody pointed this out to me, and I have thought of it before, but I hadn't thought of it here. You know, Mary knew what to ask Jesus. You see, this was Jesus' first public miracle, but she knew what Jesus was capable of doing. So she must have seen him working other miracles, but privately. This is just something that we can ponder ourselves. There are no answers to these questions. But still, our Lord works publicly and privately in our lives as well. And we know that we can come to him because we know him. You see, when we get to know these Gospels, we know the Lord. So then we come to these interesting ceremonial jars. These jars were supposed to be filled with water so that the guests could bathe their feet and their hands when they came in for the ceremonial washing. These jugs are empty. The guests have been here for a while. They've used up the water because the people have all entered. So Jesus instructs them to fill the empty jars with water. They each held 20 to 30 gallons. You can imagine how large these were. If you go to Cana, you can actually see copies of these sorts of things. And the amount of wine that Jesus produced was far out of proportion to what they needed. I got the adding wrong at the last Mass also. 30 gallons times 6 is 6 times 3 is 18. Carry the 3. It was a lot of wine. All right. And they said I would never use algebra. This wine is out of all proportion to the wedding. And so God wants to multiply his graces out of all proportion in our lives. Heaven is a place of such abundance we cannot imagine it. Makes up for every suffering we've had in this world. The Lord is saying, just wait. You won't believe what is going to be at this wedding that you're invited to. This is a message of hope in a time when we need it very badly, I think, in our lives. We have to hold on to this. We have to realize the Lord has given us this story for a reason, that we are really invited to a wedding. If you've got something like that to look forward to, you start to prepare. You start to get ready. Our lives have meaning. We know where we're going. But it's interesting because this miracle began with empty jugs. We find ourselves in life, we have guests for dinner, so to speak, and we've run out of food. We've run out of wine. We have only water. We have empty jugs. What do we do? This is where our Lord begins to work his miracle. He waits until we're empty, and then he begins to fill it. So we have the great gift of emptiness that God can fill. Those who are full do not come to Christ for help. They have all they need. They are sufficient. They are filled with wine already. It is those who are empty that come to Christ in their needs. That's why we're here. Those who are full are doing something else this morning. It is our emptiness that blesses us, and God fills us with gifts, like he said in the second reading, so that we can then in turn become full jars of wine, so to speak, to give to others. So our Lord today invites us to a wedding, and then at the end we have another very curious thing. I have a lot of scriptural rosaries. I kind of collect them, and when I exercise, I say one. I like to use the scriptural rosary. And oftentimes, when this reading is used for the scriptures, they leave out this last one, or they change the wording because it's awkward. And Jesus did this at this first of his signs at Cana of Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and the disciples began to believe in him. This implies that they said yes without really believing him at the beginning. So we too are on a journey of faith. We don't have perfect faith yet. That's okay. Christ isn't expecting perfect faith. That comes at the end. Christ takes us where we're at. But each day, please God, we will grow in faith like the disciples and so begin to believe in him. So our Lord invites us to a wedding today. When our wine runs short, we know that Christ is with us. I forgot there's one more story I forgot to tell you. I left it out. I was at a baptism 2 weeks ago, and the couple was trying to light their candle. And they couldn't light it, and they couldn't light it, and they couldn't light it. Well, it was an Hispanic couple, and I finally noticed that they were lighting the wrong end of the candle. And believe it or not, they did get it lit. And I said to them, I said, you know, now that you're new parents, this is a sign for you because you'll soon be burning the candle at both ends. I see some of you have been there. Priests have that same problem. Our Lord wants to fill us. If you are in that situation, give the candle to Christ. He wants to fill us with that new wine of the Spirit and help us to more and more to believe in him.